You are listening to The Beauty Beat with Francesca Alexander. Today, I'm taking you to New York City to meet one of my dear friends. I call her Lady A. Her name is Alexandra Suzanne Greenewald, and she's amazing. In this podcast, we really truly get the sense of Alexandra's style. She truly believes with the right outfit, you can accomplish anything. What I love about Alexandra is that she's very candid. She's actually going to tell us about her career, how she started, how she ended up in Paris, how she went to school in Boston, how she was a ballerina, how she came from and actually started off in San Francisco, and then finally New York, fashion capital of the world for sure. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this podcast. We're about to hear how that little dress in your closet can change your whole experience. This is episode 9 with Alexandra Suzanne Greenewald. Hi, today's podcast is extremely special to me because it's a dear friend of mine that I'm actually introducing to you guys. And I love her. I know you're going to love her. She is an amazing stylist in New York City. Her name, if you don't know her yet, you need to know her. Her name is Alexandra Greenewald. Welcome.
Thank you, Francesca. It's so good to be here.
I'm so excited to actually have you on. Now, Alexandra and I believe it was 2011 we first met. We were at a business convention, and she was amazing, and she had such style and so warm. And coming from Los Angeles, being a makeup artist, I know it sounds awful, but I feel like in the industry that we were, it's so hard to find really easygoing people that are just so sincere. And when I found out that you were a stylist, I just went, what? Tell me more. You're a stylist? And I fell in love with you instantaneously. And I lost track of you. And then I started following your career. And also, you have this amazing website, alexandrastylist.com. And I love it. I especially love, and I've even tweeted a video just like randomly because I love how your homepage is set up and just how you set the mood of what it is to take care of yourself in the way of styling. So I wanted to ask you a little bit more about just how did you get started? And I know you're from Boston. Like, take us on the story of you.
Well, it's such a long, long journey, Francesca, because in many ways, I feel like I was born a stylist. I was born with a natural attraction / obsession with clothing and accessories. I literally, as a baby, I had a special blanket, and on one side was green and the other side was yellow. And I could never fall asleep unless the green side was up. So I would say every night before I go to bed, green side up, green side up. So it was really, a lifelong interest, again, obsession with clothing. And as a child, I, of course, played dress up every day after school and played it like well in through junior high and had like a little makeup / dress up club where we would try and emulate Madonna, which I'm sure you've heard, you know, many girls did this, but I don't think I ever outgrew it. And I grew up in California, actually, but I went to school in Boston, and I went away to boarding school at age 14, and then I went to BU for my undergraduate degree. I felt like I was kind of pressured into doing like a liberal arts background by my mom. I had been a ballerina, but I had been sort of told, oh, you can't be a ballerina. Artists don't make any money. So again, I was trying to follow like the good path with a liberal arts background. And I graduated from BU and I had no clue what I was going to do with my French degree, but I had been to Paris. And I had, while I was in Paris, I took an internship and I figured, oh, well, hell, I'm in Paris. I might as well do a internship in fashion because fashion is here.
Oh, I love it.
So I took this internship with this small little press agency, Bureau de Victor, and I ran errands. I picked up hats. I styled mannequins. We put on a fashion show. I loved it. I loved every minute of it, but I really struggled with when I was younger, with where do I fit in fashion? You know, am I a buyer? No. Am I a model? No. Am I, you know, a department store person? Do I want to work in retail? And these were all like no's in my head. So it took me a very long time. But when after I graduated, I got a job in apparel, and actually in the sales part, in the wholesale sales. And I was selling shirts for a big company, and I was on the road, and I was in six different states in New England, and I was selling, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of shirts. And I got really good at the job in 3 years, but I got extremely bored. I was bored out of my mind. Mm. And I realized that there was nothing creative about the job. And so on the side, I started taking a web design class, like how to build your own website with front page. And I met this guy, Ormond Beckles, who ended up being my business partner in my very first website, which was called ProveReal.com. That's the name of my company. Mm-hmm. And ProveReal was fashion and nightlife combined online, and kind of like a First View or a Patrick McMullen. It was incredibly image driven. It was photos, photos, photos. And a lot of the photos I took myself. And so I did that, and that was like my creative outlet. And then I started producing fashion shows, and I brought this designer from Paris, and then I started styling shoots. And no one really taught me like what to do. I literally just started doing things that excited me, that inspired me. A lot of it was self-propelled, I have to say. And anytime I tried to follow any like set path, I found that that was not the right way for me. Like in Boston, after I had gotten a couple photo shoots under my belt, which I had produced and styled, I ended up going to an agency to try and get representation, you know, because that's what they tell you to do, get representation. And so I walked in with my portfolio of like, you know, three photo shoots, and I thought I was on top of the world. And they were like, oh, you know, you have to intern, you have to assist, we won't rep you, you have to work for our people. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, I just proved that I can do it. And I found the photographer and the model and the makeup artist, and this shit looks good. What's wrong with you?
Nice.
And then like a week later, I was like, oh, you know, maybe I will. And so I faxed my application in, and they lost it. And that, to me, that was like a sign from the universe. And there was something where I always knew in the back of my mind, New York, New York, New York, New York. I always knew, like, you have to go to New York. Everything happens in New York. So I left Boston, even though I loved it. And I had built this tremendous identity for myself. ProveReal had become a site with like over a million visitors a month. Now, we didn't know how to monetize. Well, I didn't know how to monetize it. I didn't know what I was doing, but it was fun. But it was something that I built, and I had to kind of pare it down, which was a little bit sad. But I knew I had to move to New York. I knew I had to become a small fish in a big pond, and I had to get over being a big fish in a small pond. So then when I got to New York, I started from scratch again. You know, like, again, the tear sheets. The photo shoots, they meant nothing to New Yorkers. So I hustled and networked and weaseled my way into any photo shoot job that I could get myself onto. And I literally, I would befriend people. I would call people. I mean, I was like a calling junkie. I would make cold calls. I had one friend with one connection in fashion. And I called that person, and I was like, do you have anything? What are you working on? I was ridiculous. I was fearless. I was like a little like bulldog. And it paid off, because the first month that I was in New York, which was 2001, we're talking October 2001, so 1 month after 9/11, that's the landscape that I moved to New York in. It was not a great time to be here, but a month in, I got this amazing opportunity to style a Pantene commercial in Times Square. And I thought to myself, wow, I've made it. This is great. Every month I'll do some big job like this. And then fast forward a couple years later, I had felt, I was like getting burned out on shoots, on celebrities, on fashion week, on the glamour. And I was also physically exhausted. And I had always on the side done styling work. You know, friends would tap me, you know, best friends, like family members. I will always style people on the side, but I never really took it seriously because I was so busy chasing the glamorous stuff. But once I decided, well, actually 2008 happened and the economy readjusted itself, and I had to take a really hard look at my business and myself and what my goals were and what I wanted. And I really changed focus completely. I was like, you know, I'm sick of this fabulous fashion crap. I want to work with real women. I want to go back to my roots. I want to utilize all the color analysis that I had been trained in. I want to use all the shape analysis. I want to use all of the my gifts. And so I refashioned my business into private styling only. But I was so afraid to let go of the photo shoot stuff. So I never said to anyone, oh, I don't do photo shoots anymore. I was too afraid to let go of it. But it's really been in the last year or two that I've really felt confident to be like, you know, I don't do that. And this is all I have to do. All I specialize is in helping women heal their relationship with their style. That's it, you know? But it took, we're talking like 15 years to get here.
Wow. I'm a little speechless, but I think it's so great because you also, this is such an important thing. You really sculpted it to be something that you needed it to be and not what, you know, especially when you're in that sort of strong type, archetype industry, it usually will mold you. You actually pushed back and you molded it. Now that's flipping phenomenal if you ask me.
Well, there was just so much about the industry that was intolerable for me. Number one, the hours, the way you were treated, the food or lack of food, just the lack of respect, the lack of interaction with the client. I really wanted to connect with the people that I was dressing with. And, you know, models, you know, they're just paid to show up and smile and not smile. And nine times out of ten, they're encouraged not to smile, you know. And that bugged me about the industry. So yeah, I really felt like I needed to create my own parallel universe where style came first, where reality came first, where, you know, empathy and understanding and honesty were, you know, major parts of my business credo.
And I think that's so great to actually, you know, go to my next question or my next thought with you. What I've seen you do is, yes, you connect with other women on a very one-on-one level, but I feel like it's deeper. Like the fashion part, it transcends into confidence. It really lends itself to broaden who you want to be, almost like a costume or an idea and thought of who you want to project yourself to be, which is something that I totally connect. And also see in my case, it was seeing the transformation happen before me with makeup, and you see that woman being elevated. And I feel that you absolutely do the same thing. It's more tactical or tactile, and you're able to really broaden that sense of who they want to become or who they're evolving into. And I wanted to talk to you about that because we even talked about, you know, anything from like, you know, you have to dress a certain way and I don't want to lose the weight of this, but to dress a certain way to project a new relationship into your life, a new career, how to maintain that sense of value in yourself and have that transform in your wardrobe. And I'm extremely fascinated by your personal shares on Facebook about you purging your closet and really just evolving and redesigning yourself. So I know that's a lot to throw at you, but I want to kind of go into that space where that's happening. And I love the process that you put your clients through when you do that too.
Well, I think you definitely got a lot to chew on there, Francesca. But I truly think that we all have the power to change our lives. You know, they talk about, you know, change your thoughts, things change your lives. But I also think it goes further than that. I've always believed in change your look, change your life. But that has to come from within. It has to come from, like, inside. It has to come from inside and go out. And I've seen a lot of my clients kind of flourish and bloom after working with me. And I've definitely had some people scared before they work with me because they're like, well, are you going to put your style on me? And I have to explain to them, you know, when I'm working with a client, all I'm doing is peeling away the layers of the onion of their own innate style and just helping them take the inside and put it outside. It's not a costume for them. It's not that they're going to try it on once. It's really about finding clothes that they feel 100% at ease and confident in. And then that gives you the ultimate secret weapon. So I feel like they say you teach what you want to learn. So I had to use myself as a guinea pig. And as a junior high student, I was shy and felt gawky and unpopular, and that I, you know, didn't have enough boobs and didn't have enough curves, and I didn't know how to dress myself, but I was really interested in finding out how to do it. And so, yeah, I am personally going through a big shift and change in my own life, because I've had some health challenges which have affected my weight, and I've never had weight fluctuations, never in my whole life. I've always kind of like been one weight, and then like 10 years later I'm like maybe a couple pounds more. So I've literally been able to have things in my closet for like 10, 15 years that still fit. But now, you know, there's been a little bit of a weight adjustment, and so I've had to do my own purging, and I think it's super important to live what you preach, yeah. You know, and what I teach to my clients.
So what are the, I mean, speaking of, like, you know, every season, what's the best time to purge? Like, is there like a checklist? Is there like, how do you even start something like that?
To me, the closet editing or the purging, the cleansing, it's definitely great to do in the spring. But I think you could also do it all year round in a very, like, small, organic way. Like, for example, whenever I buy something, I make sure to get rid of something. The process, to me, always starts with intention, setting your intentions. Like, how do I want to feel in my clothing? That's your core intention. And once you know that, purging becomes so much easier because it's like, oh, I don't want to feel 12 anymore. I don't want to feel young. I don't want to feel too junior. So once you said, okay, I want to feel powerful, confident, beautiful, feminine in my clothing. That's my...
You know, yeah, I just really connected, and I'm not sure if I told you this before, but one of the greatest, I think, fashion icons was Jackie O, and she would have a notebook each season, and she would write down, very similar to what you said, it was almost like a accessory and even a, she went down even to fragrances, kind of a map of what the feel was like that season.
Yeah.
And she'd write down everything that she wanted in that book, and then she would shop.
Yeah. I do a board, a mood board, like organically, and it's usually on my mirror, but I had to clear it for a showing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like having that intention and then having the physical representation is really helpful because it sort of gives you a roadmap. I don't know if you ever read, Danielle Laporte wrote a book before Firestarter Sessions and everything that she's done called The Style Statement. And it is very, very helpful for people looking for their own style statement.
Oh, that's cool. No, I haven't heard of that book. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's actually wonderful. And it starts with that once you define, it helps you define your own style statement. Because once you define that style statement, you can take it to everything. You can take it to your interiors. You can take it to your whole life.
Oh, I love that. Let me ask you something just on a broader scope kind of question. Are there anything that you seem to be pulling consistently for other clients that you feel like, oh, this is should be in every woman's wardrobe. This is going to make her feel great. You know, a couple of pieces that you normally just go to, it's like on auto. And it usually kind of, it's a broad range of something that you can maybe just put in our heads as a thought to maybe purchase.
Yes. I think that every woman can benefit from having that perfect, awesome, great dress. And No, the dress does not have to be black. It could be red. It could be whatever color really works on you as a neutral. Because I feel like finding that dress that can go from day to night, to from the office to a date, could be on an airplane. Like that basic dress that you could dress up with like great jewelry and like cool pumps and a nice bag and a great coat, or you could wear that dress to the beach.
Wow.
Or you could wear that dress with just running errands. It's that comfortable, it's that easy. So that kind of concept, that's something that I teach over and over to clients. Find the dresses that are mutatable, adaptable, versatile, and you will have a workhorse piece.
That is interesting and challenging for me because I rarely see myself as a girl, so wearing a dress is, I mean, it's great. I mean, talk about your whole, like, I could just feel my back straightening out just as you say dress. So it would change the way, the mindset instantly when I would wear something like that.
Because it's the most feminine thing we can wear.
Right.
It's more feminine than pants. It's more feminine than a skirt. Men love dresses. I feel like you can't fail in a dress. And I have worked with so many women who have said to me, I can't find a dress that looks good on me. I've never been able to find a dress. I hate dresses. And I kind of find myself as being a little bit of a dress converter. You know, I convert people to the dark side of dresses.
I love that. I love that value of going into, and personally, I totally believe you. I know that when I walk down streets with friends that are wearing dresses, I see people just wow, and they're just looking at what she's wearing and how it is. And when you said that, it just brought me back for me and my friend that I was walking down near Central Park actually, and she was wearing a red long dress. It was very flowy. And I was in awe with it, but I thought I was the only one. But no, it just really drew everybody's attention. And she walked so confidently, and she's so gorgeous. It was just, yeah, I can see how it actually makes a memory all together, doesn't it?
Yeah. I love wearing dresses on airplanes. I feel like comfortable ones that feel like nightgowns, you know. Mm-hmm. But I always feel it elevates the experience of travel. I may talk to someone I wouldn't normally talk to, or I may, you know, stand taller. And I feel like it just gives me a more easeful experience. And I've noticed I get different treatment in screening too.
Huh. That's interesting.
Yeah, and I mean, I would say, I mean, I've gotten so many weird comments on the street, but 9 times out of 10, it's like last night, someone was like, "Nice hat." And I was like, just like totally unexpected from someone that you'd never think would appreciate. I mean, I've gotten compliments from people you never think would notice anything style related, and yet they do. So I feel like at the end of the day, style is something that is universally, when you look beautiful, it's universally noticed. Maybe not verbalized, but people appreciate it.
Yeah, I see that. I see that appreciation for sure. What is, if somebody wanted to contact you and you know, what type of work do you work on one-on-one? Do you still do that? Is it seasonally? Like, when do you do something like that?
So I have been up until this point doing primarily one-to-one. And now I am scaling back on my one-to-one. I am taking one-to-one clients for September right now. So there's a little bit of a bit of a wait list. And then also I'm doing programs. So I'm building a closet editing program called Closet Shrink right now. And by the time you're all listening to this, it should be completed and up on Udemy, which is really exciting to me. And that walks you through the exact steps, and even more in-depth steps than I take with my private clients, of how to reduce and edit that closet with clarity and understanding. And it also, not only will it show you like the most efficient way to do it, it'll show you like the shortcut way, it will also help you with the emotional part, because I feel like those organizing sites never talk about what it feels like when you're going through it, like how hard it is to get rid of your grandmother's sweater that she passed down to you, or that family heirloom, or that thing that someone gave you but you secretly hate. You know, there's all these emotions swirling about, and so I try to address that head on in the program, because I feel like it's an important part of the process of letting go. And I've seen how much magic happens when you let go of things. Because when you let go of things, it allows, and this is going to sound super woo-woo, but it allows for the universe to send new energy, new blood, new things, new people into your life. Because there's no room. It's the same thing with, they tell you if you're looking for a mate, you should have two side tables out, you know, next to your bed, so that, you know, one for the guy and one for you, and you should be able to get to the bed from both sides. It's the same thing. I've had half of my closet in my bedroom empty because I was waiting for a man to come in my life, and he did. But that was something, that was a practice that I put in motion a while back. And I was like, you know, if me as a clothes horse, I've got to allow room for a man to come in and hang his little suits up, his little shirts.
You know, I'm tingling because, Alexander, can I tell you, I did the same thing.
Wow.
And yes. A month later, I got, the love of my life that...
Yeah. Oh, I just got goosebumps.
I know. It's crazy because that's exactly what I did. I even went as far as buying another parking spot in my building for his car, whoever he was. So I did the same exact thing. I know. And this is why we're connected, everybody. Like, Alexandra and I were just so in sync. It's crazy when we talk. But we'll find out something more about each other that's like totally like, you know, we're obviously soul sisters. That's for sure. But yeah, it's you know, it that exact same thing happened. And the ironic thing about me purging half of my closet is that, as you know, I don't know if you know this about Callum, but Callum's a clothes horse. So I usually get like 2/3 of the closet by the time we're, or, you know, but no, I mean, it was totally reversed. Like, he started pushing his suits and pushing my stuff back. So That's kind of the ironic thing when I made space for him.
Him to edit his side?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, so it's funny because last night I take a comedy, a solo show comedy writing class, and I took my closet material to the class, and I there's one guy in the class, and then the teacher is a gay guy. But I said to the guy, I was like, I'm apologizing in advance for this material. But the guys loved it. They were like, you know what? Your material has inspired us to go home and edit our closets. And I was like, oh, well, that's cool. I built it for women, but I guess it worked for men too.
Yeah, inspiration comes from all sources for sure, especially you. I think that you're extremely inspirational. I know that every time I get with you, I always feel energized, and I want to like do something after I speak with you, which is great. So, yeah, is there any other tips that we can try to think? Like, I have so many questions that I want to ask you, and I know that, you know, this is only a small podcast here. But I think the biggest question is for me, it's like, you know, other than, you know, getting that staple dress, is there anything that we should really look out for that would help us, give us that confidence boost, you know, anytime? Like, what is the thing that we should do to, like, you know, either go into our closets and shop our closets, or is there anything that we can do that just kind of inspire us from keeping that good energy going and making sure that we don't get complacent and, you know, start wearing the same things over and over?
I'm a big fan of, let's say you have stuff in your closet that you're not ready to get rid of because it could be any reason. It could be, you know, I might get back to that weight, or it might come back in style, but I'm not wearing it now. So you take those things in your closet that you're not wearing right now, that you're not loving right now, but you're not ready to get rid of, and you remove them from your main closet. Mm. And you put them somewhere else. Put them in a box, or you put them in another part of your house, and then you revisit them like a month or two later. And you ask yourself, am I ready to get rid of them now? And oftentimes, just having them away and so you're not seeing them will make it kind of easier to detach with love. And then it makes your actual, because your main closet should only have things that you're wearing and loving right now in it. That's it. No excuses.
Right.
Because when it's streamlined like that, getting dressed is so much easier. So it's about filling that main space, or not filling, could be half full, but like just having like a very curated, well-edited things that make your heart sing, not the blah, like, oh, I'm not sure. You know, all that stuff you're like not sure of, it's probably not a good idea.
It's probably not a good idea. I love it.
It's not a good idea. I mean, unfortunately, we're in this age of like H&M and Zara and fast fashion, and buy it cheap, and it doesn't matter if it's that great. And it's kind of a trap. And I'd like to invite you to go back to like kind of the old-fashioned thinking, where it's like, find better quality, you know, things that really represent you and look good on you.
Oh, I love that.
Focus on the quality. You know, take what you like and leave the rest.
Oh, that's so perfect. I think that's a great place to end. Thank you so much, Alexandra. I really appreciate our time together.
Me too. I love being able to chat with you about style and all things good in the world.
Thank you. And everybody check out alexandrastylist.com for more information, and check out the upcoming webinars and the Udemy classes too.
Yeah, thanks so much.
I hope you enjoyed this interview as much as I did. If you feel inspired, go right now to socialglobalgrind.com and sign up for the free newsletter. There I have tips for every entrepreneur at every stage of their business. I hope to connect and see you there soon. Bye for now.